reclaiming Valentine's. The flowers have been arriving since mid-morning, and the blast of icy wind goes through me with every delivery. All the women in the office descend upon the recipient, squealing and cooing at the mass of blood-red roses atop thin green stalks. I watch them covertly as I raise a cup of tea to my lips. The heat from the mug fails to penetrate my frigid hands. Soon enough, I can't stomach listening to the boasting of who is going to eat where and whose other half has been the most romantic, the most generous. So I turn to my computer screen and throw myself into the land of numbers. I manage to remain invisible and remote from the laughter and banter until Bernie turns to me. "So, Roisin, what are you doing for Valentine's?" she says, placing the bouquet of flowers she has just received in full view of everyone. The atmosphere goes still. She does this every year, knowing full well I've been single since my divorce 8 years ago. Back then, they all had a good laugh at me when I used to turn up hungover and fragile. During that time, I poured my guts out to anyone who would listen until I realised I was only fodder for the gossip mill. And from then on, I rarely spoke to them, or anyone else for that matter. I was becoming more and more aloof with age. My jaw tightens when I stare at Bernie. As always, my eye gravitates towards her chin, to the mole that sprouts several wiry grey hairs. I quickly glance away from it, shrug my shoulders, and give her the same enigmatic response I give every year. "Asher, you know yourself," I smile, rising from my desk to get another cup of tea. As I go into the kitchenette, I know they are all glancing at each other, and the air is dense with gleeful malice. I sigh and wonder why I'm such a masochist. Why not just leave? But that weariness descends upon me, and I can't be bothered. As the steam rises from the kettle, I think, feck them, I'll celebrate Valentine's my way. When I return to my desk, my head is picturing a nicely laid table, a vase of flowers and an oozy, chocolatey dessert. I'm half smiling, and when I catch Bernie looking at me oddly, I'm secretly thrilled. She's trying to catch the other women's attention, but another delivery arrives, this time for Sarah. The quantity of roses and the cuddly polar bear with an I love you heart manages to distract everyone until 5:30 comes around. I'm the first to switch off my computer and rush out into the cold, dark evening. As I head for M&S, I'm grateful to Sarah that at least this year I was largely left alone from their annual braying. The biting wind swirls around me as I step into the shop, and I see men and women swarming around grabbing ready-made meals, bottles of wine, chocolates and all the other bloody accoutrements that comes with Valentine's Day. I want to scream at them all to just stop and realise that it's all a big marketing scam. Instead, I brave the crowds and grab a box with a picture of beef slices swaddled in a thick brown sauce. I select a bag of carrot battens and consider the green beans until a short, round woman elbows me out of the way. I turn to her, but she glares at me with the ferocity of a terrier dog. I move away humiliated and head for the tub of flowers. There is one forlorn bouquet left in the black tub, but I'm shoved aside by a man in a camel-coloured coat. As he reaches out for them, he is joined by a second man. They scowl at each other as they simultaneously grab the edges of the shiny paper. The standoff lasts 30 seconds or so until the second man sucks in his paunch and thrusts his chest forward. Mr. Camelcoat, the taller of the two, steps back and raises his hands in submission. I watch this until someone pokes me in the back to move aside. I can't take any more of this aggression, so I grab the nearest bottle of wine and get out fast. When I enter my apartment, the sound of silence greets me and I groan. I see my breath as I walk into the kitchen. I dump the groceries on the table, sit down and gaze out the window. I'm tempted to go round to the off-license, purchase a second bottle of wine and drink myself unconscious. The longing snakes through my insides, but I shake my head and go over to the cooker, emptying the carrots into a pot and filling it with water. Then I set the table, one plate, one knife, one fork and one dessert spoon. I look at the empty chair at the other end of the table and I vision Bernie there mocking me. I consider eating in front of the telly as I normally do, but instead I pour myself a glass of Chardonnay and sip it, waiting for the microwave to ping and the vegetables to soften. Soon enough, the food is ready and I begin to eat, but the silence crowds in on me, so I switch on the hi-fi. Moonlight Sonata fills up the spaces, and as I finish my meal, I realize I forgot the dessert. I go to the fridge, then the cupboard, and finally the fruit bowl, but there is nothing, only one wrinkled red apple, and who wants one of those? I pour myself another glass of wine, take it to the bathroom and run a bath. I go to the bedroom to retrieve an old item and place it carefully on the floor beside a clean towel. When the tub is full, I add a few drops of lavender and slip into it, feeling the warmth and heat envelop me as if I am in the womb again. As the sounds of an area fills the apartment, I cast my mind back to former loves, be they for a week, a month, or years. For some reason or other, I have never celebrated Valentine's Day with someone else. Despite being married for 5 years, my ex-husband never bothered, and I never made a fuss. To date, I have not received a flower, a meal, a gift, or even a card. Well, that is not strictly true. As I take my hand out of the water, I dry it very carefully and let my fingers fumble around until I find it. An old, faded card. The love hearts that swirl about the puppy dog are leached of their deep red colour. It is the only Valentine's card I have ever received. 26 years ago, to be exact. Despite the sprinkling of grey hairs, softening belly and the slow descent of once ripe breasts, when I look at that card I am 14 again. I am watching him do wheelies up and down the road, cycling with one hand, no hands, weaving in and out of poles, doing figures of eight. Coolly, with heart beating, I watch him, and he, under covert eyelids, watches me. It is all for me. The card with its childish handwriting asks me, will I be his Valentine? Will I be his love? I'd be his love till the end of time if epilepsy had not taken him away 3 years later. Later that summer, when 2 billion people watched Live Aid and Wham was the pin-up for most of us teenage girls, he spoke those 5 words I yearn to hear. Will you go out with me? He asks. Yes, yes, I say in my mind. All right, I say shyly to his face. Do you mean it? He says, unbelieving. I quickly kiss his lips to show him. He pulls me close to him. All that summer we spent nights talking, throwing a ball up against an old wall, as we navigated the shift from childhood to adulthood. Gawky, uneasy, with the world at our feet, time stretching ahead of us with all our idealistic dreams for us to grab. I'll be an architect, he'll be a builder, we'd say to one another. The perfect combination, equality before it became a buzzword. I'll never forget on one of those nights when the sky plunged from aquamarine blue to a blaze of pink, red and gold. He pauses his cycling as I toss the ball against the wall. He looks at me intently, a boy of 15 with all the devotion the heart can carry. Why are you so beautiful? He says.